when I think of a man who has done so many different things, filmmaker, musician, writer, contributor to the feminist porn book, it almost seems a little odd that you might not know him by his name, Christopher Zeisig, but you do probably know him by his much more known name of Danny Wilde. Christopher has recently left the porn industry, and he's going to tell us why and what he's done in the meantime that is a bit of reclaiming or moving into a different sphere of performance with sex. Christopher, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
I'm very delighted to have you on. Your recent writings have really sparked a lot of interest and a lot of discussion about porn and performance of porn and the ideas of porn as pleasure. And why don't we step back a little bit, because your writing, particularly the article on Nerve that I was speaking about, it has been really influential, but we need to take a step back to last fall when you had to make a very important decision in your life, and maybe you could tell us about that.
Right. Well, I, like many other male porn performers, have been using erectile dysfunction drugs to kind of as a performance enhancer while performing, and that doesn't mean that I wasn't able to achieve erection without them, but a lot of times the requirements of scenes on an ongoing basis just meant that it was much easier to swallow a Viagra or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had been taking this stuff for as long as I had been performing, which at the end of it was about 8 years, and there were a couple instances where I ended up in the hospital. The first time it was because I had actually injected my penis with something called Bimix, which is like a steroid that does something similar. And it got to the point where I was in the hospital for the third time for something called priapism, which is when your erection won't subside and you essentially have to get a big needle pushed in there and all your blood drained out, and it's not very fun. And the doctor told me, you know, if you keep doing this and ending up here, you're going to run the risk of losing your ability to achieve an erection at all. So I mean, that's kind of a big deal in and of itself, but mm-hmm. to compact that issue, like, that was my job. And to compact the issue even more, it was, after 8 years, it had become kind of my identity in a lot of ways. Like, Danny Wilde was who I was most of the time. And so, I mean, basically overnight, I just decided that I was going to quit performing. I had no real backup job or anything like that. And I don't know, it was pretty scary, to be honest.
It sounds, it sounds like one of those moments in life that that people, you know, have to think and consider might happen, but you never want to happen. And you just hope that, you know, it's the fingers crossed that this, I hope this never happens to me. I mean, because you're mentioning it's your livelihood is threatened, changed, not just threatened, but entirely changed. Your physical health is in jeopardy here. Your ability to achieve pleasure in your sexual relations. And at that time, you comes out in the article, but you had just started a new relationship, which
right.
That can't be easy to try and navigate when you know. Well, I need to recover from something, and sex is entirely off the table. That's got to be a challenge too.
Yes, most definitely. The woman that I had started a relationship with, who I'm still in a relationship with, actually, we had met in porn. And I mean, I know that everyone has different ways of getting into relationships first, but I feel like given my my job was so sexual, it wasn't that far-fetched to, you know, have sex within I'd already worked with this girl, so we had sex professionally prior to this. And then, it was like, I think we had gone out together twice or something like that. And then the third time she texted me, I'm in the hospital. And I didn't really know at that point whether I had already destroyed my ability to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping not, but, you know, I didn't say that at first, but it was, I at least told her, you know, I can't do anything with this. I mean, my genitals were all bruised and not very functional at the time. And, she thankfully stayed with me and was kind of very sweet about it. And I don't know that most people would be, especially that early on in a relationship and you have no idea where it's going to go. But it was a strange process to kind of rediscover, like, a personal sexuality, I think, outside of pharmaceuticals and outside of porn and outside of being with more than one sexual partner, which was all very, very new to me.
Mm-hmm.
as strange as that may sound. I'd done my first porn scene when I was 19, so I never really had, like, a sexually monogamous relationship in my life. And I don't know, it's been kind of nice to explore that. It's definitely different, but I'm liking it right now.
So that is going well. I mean, that then, and like you say, that's I think that's a testament and well, let's call it a really good sign that a relationship is probably headed in the right direction when it's born out of, wow, everything is changing in my life. What kind of things have you been doing? I know that the writing has been happening, and you have done some film work and things in the past, and music. You're in a two-person band called Children with Two Eyes. I was thinking about playing Children on the show tonight, but I wasn't quite sure that that I could slide it in there as seamlessly as our most of our Sex City music. But definitely, people, check out Children if you want something nice and hard later tonight. Definitely check out Children. But so what kind of projects have you moved on to? What are you doing these days?
Well, currently I'm working for The Stockroom. I don't know if people know what that is. It's a U.S.-based bondage and sex toy company. They make a lot of bondage accessories, mm-hmm. and I think they're one of the oldest companies, not just in that industry, but, like, overall to exist on the internet. I mean, I know the owner, Joel Tucker, was, like, working doing online sales back in, like, 1989. Anyway, they have brought me on in their creative team, which is essentially means that I'm doing video production for them to kind of market their products.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And prior to that, I was basically reaching out to anyone I knew in the adult industry or outside of it, and enough people offered me work in the adult entertainment industry doing, like, freelance production stuff. I did a lot of work for James Dean, the actor, who mm-hmm. he started his own kind of productions, and I was, you know, helping on set. I was editing a lot, even doing some scoring for his, like, artier porn films. I think there's only one of them out right now, but he's doing this series of seven movies based on the seven deadly sins.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm going to go back to working for him part-time next month.
Very, very cool. Very cool. See, I mean, it's kind of my next question was, you know, what kind of transitional work is there for people in the porn industry who are, you know, leaving performing? If you're not performing, what can you do? Now, you have an educational background in film as well, correct? So, like, you're
right.
You have a basis to move into that other kind of work, and whereas maybe other performers don't have that, but, you know, move into other things. And one thing that you did move into, and now this is the thrust of the article on Nerve, how a former porn star's sex tape helped him reclaim his sex life. So you decided with your partner, after being together for a while, recovering, moving on, and doing other things, to make a personal sex tape, but not just a personal sex tape, a personal sex tape to be broadcast on makelove.porn. We've had Cindy Gallup on in the past, and she was fantastic. We're a big fan of that site. So what really led you to want to get back into a type of performing?
I think there's a couple of reasons. I mean, one of which is just very simple, that I've known Cindy since before that website went up, or at least the commercial side of that website went up. And she was very much like, you know, this would be a great way for you to do this in like a no-pressure way and still make a little bit of money. And I had been thinking about it for a while, but for the first several months, it was just not something I wanted to get back into. I was kind of shell-shocked. However, I think with performing in porn, or I imagine performing in anything, there's a certain feedback loop that you get that I think psychologically is kind of weird to lose so immediately. And because sharing my sex had become such a huge part of my life, I think that I was just missing putting it out there, and doing it through Make Love Not Porn is such that I can kind of shape that however I want, because it's my submission rather than me getting hired by a director and doing whatever they want of me. So I thought it would be kind of something special. I think that website to me is something that I don't want to do like on a weekly basis or even on a monthly basis necessarily, that it's something that like that when I share my sex there, it's like it's much more intimate, and it's something that I think it's a glimpse into my life in a way that I am willing to share with you, you know. But yeah, I miss the feedback loop. I like having this sort of ability to perform for people, or to share my sex with people, and then have them kind of respond to that in a way. And I don't know, I think in a lot of ways porn was very validating for me in terms of my self-esteem and other things. I was very shy as a kid, and then going through a process of realizing that people will like pay you and watch you essentially because you exist, and have sex, I mean, that's a very fulfilling thing on it. And I don't know how to explain that otherwise.
Well, I mean, what I love about it, and that you touched on, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more of that. You know, you mentioned that you're not doing it for a director, you're not doing it for anyone else, it's yours, and it's a glimpse into your life. And really, the story that you tell in the Nerve article is that you tell a story that is, despite the circumstances that you went through, which were extraordinary, you tell a story that is relatable by many other people, because the filming and the sex for the filming didn't go well at first. It was a process, and there was emotion, and there was vulnerability, and there was difficulty, right. And that's, you know, something that is you know, to dial back into quote unquote real life as opposed to porn performance. And people who are going to view that clip on Make Love Not Porn will see a different side of Danny Wilde or Christopher.
Correct. Well, what you're talking about is it didn't exactly go well, at least in the beginning. I think it went well at the end of it. But yeah, I hadn't been used to this kind of... I hadn't been used to performing, and I know the intent was not to perform necessarily. Like, makelovenotporn.tv has this distinction where it's the idea is that you're having real-world sex. whatever that may mean to you. But, you know, this was the first time since I had quit porn that my girlfriend and I were going to put something out there, and it kind of meant a lot to us because we were going through a lot of emotional stuff. It took on this certain importance, like this had to go well. And then, despite it being real, I mean, there are certain things that you need to do to make this a video for anyone else to watch, and one of which is you need to light it. You need to kind of turn off any commercial music or television that may be, like, in the background and act as white noise to your typical life at home. But it makes everything feel a little bit more like a set, and then you have these cameras set up, and, you know, my girl's kind of gone through the process of, like, making herself up and looking pretty and all of this, and then we're sitting there and kind of like realizing that this wasn't how we normally would engage with each other, you know. And I all of a sudden got incredibly nervous, like I don't even know what this isn't really my real sex. I'm trying to document it, but I've gone through all these steps that are trying to make this production sort of, and on a very small scale, of course, but it just didn't flow naturally. And so I started thinking about it, and that triggered this thing in me. It was like going back to being a young performer, which is the very reason I was taking all these erection pharmaceuticals, because it's really hard to, on cue in front of a bunch of people, get aroused, mm-hmm. at least for me, and I think for a lot of other men, and probably women too. And so that kind of came back very strong for me, and it took a little bit to get out of that, to get back into my own body, and to realize, like, I enjoy making love to my girlfriend, and that's what this is about. But yeah, I wanted to keep that in there at least partially because I think outside of porn, or my interest in porn even, and continuing to do it, it's not just the act, but the kind of self-reflection and what that means in context to myself and the world. And this is kind of my next step in that journey. And that was a very vulnerable experience that ended well, and I think still showcased kind of my emotional and sexual relationship to my girlfriend, but just showed that I am, you know, not necessarily this sex god of a performer in real life. It's just I'm like everyone else, and if someone appreciates that, then maybe they'll donate $5 to watch our little movie. I don't know.
I think it's a very kind of revolutionary idea, moving from the very performative to a different type of performance, but, you know, showcasing the intimacy with your girlfriend and things like that. It's such a unique story, and I'm really glad that you came on tonight to share with us. Everyone out there, again, if you want to get a more in-depth version, you can go to nerve.com and find How a Former Porn Star's Sex Tape Helped Him Reclaim His Life, or just go to Christopher's site, which is it's True West, but it's, I want to get the spelling right, TRV E,
yeah.
True West.
I'm sorry. I make all my spellings completely ridiculous.
Everybody's, yeah. You got to put your spin on things, man. That's all right. So yeah, definitely check that out. And thanks for coming on tonight and telling us about it. And we're going to definitely look forward to seeing all the next steps that you're taking in your, I'm going to say careers, because it sounds like so many different things are on the go for you.
Well, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk. And